This evening we're going to turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 25 of chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 25 through to chapter 5 and verse 18. So chapter 4 and verse 25 of the book of Ephesians. And we're going to read through to 5 and verse 18. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of the mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And we end there at verse 21. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us your word. And Father, we thank you that you have given us a desire to open and to read from it and to learn more about you and to allow you to speak into our hearts. And Father, we thank you that your word is truth, it is living, it is powerful. And Father, we thank you that through it, lives can be changed. And Father, as we seek to meditate upon it in these next moments, Father, come and speak into our hearts that we may be filled with the Spirit of God and be a shining light for you. So hide me behind the cross of Calvary and let the voice of Jesus be heard into our hearts. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to take as my text this evening, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. What is it? What is the filling of the Holy Spirit? Well, fellowship equals sharing. There are we share one with another. We share our joys. We share our sorrows. The word saint, someone who is holy, not because of anything they have done, but by the one who has called them a holy God. Consecrated basically means being set apart. We are set apart for the purposes of God when we know and love Him as our Savior. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is God's command, and He expects us to obey it. This applies to all Christians, and not just a few, to keep on being filled. It is an experience we should enjoy constantly, and not just on special occasions. Being filled in the Bible means to be controlled by the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means to be constantly controlled by the Spirit in our mind, in our emotions, and in our wills. And the Holy Spirit comes into the believer at new birth. That time when we acknowledge that we are sinners before a holy God, we ask for His forgiveness, we invite Him to come in, and He says, and He sends His Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us we cannot live the Christian life on our own strength. We need His help. And when one is filled, He gives the Holy Spirit complete control. And that's where the challenge comes, isn't it? We allow Him to guide and lead and direct us, that we may be used of God in the reaching out to others. And so what happens when one is filled with the Spirit? We walk in love. We walk in the light. We walk in wisdom. And we walk in the Spirit. Church and family life are affected as we read. If you were to take and read through the Ephesians 5, we would see that. Church and family lives are affected. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is evident in his or her life. Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so he or she becomes bold in witnessing. And we all know what that's like when we think back to the day when we first became a new believer, a new child of God. We did not want to keep it to ourselves, but we wanted to let the world know. And as we grow in our Christian faith, we get more conscious and careful. Maybe hence that's why we're in the state we're in today. Because we're too careful and too fearful of those out there, and not enough fear of our God to be faithful in the proclamation of the good news of the gospel. And so he or she becomes bold in witnessing. Great generosity towards those who are in need. And so how are we filled? How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, Ephesians 4 and verse 30 tells us, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You must stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God can be grieved. God can be grieved. Moses wrote back there in Genesis chapter 6 that God was grieved before the flood. And he was grieved. But what happened? In verse 8 we read, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And despite God's grieving, yet he looked out and he saw someone whom he could trust and depend to carry out his purposes. And as Christians and as believers this evening who know and love the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we have a responsibility to find grace in the eyes of the Lord and to be faithful to him. There are times when we will fail and hurt those around us and hurt God. But we need to keep coming back to the foot of the cross. David wrote that God was grieved with the grumbling Israelites in Psalm 95 and verse 10. He was grieved because of their unbelief. Hence he said, can't let you into the land of Canaan. And they ended up 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be acquainted with grief. He would be acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He acquainted himself with grief. And then we look at the Lord Jesus there in Luke and John as he was heading towards Jerusalem. And as he came towards Jerusalem in Luke 19 and verse 41, and he stood on the Mount of Olives, and he looked in over Jerusalem, what did he do? He wept. He wept, and he wept bitterly. When I think about that, I think of how he must be weeping today. Because of the lack of thoughtfulness one for another. Man's selfishness and no thought of God. How he's weeping. He stood at the grave tomb. And he wept over Lazarus. Jesus knows what it is to weep. See, God can be grieved. Let's think about choices. Life is about choices, isn't it? The choices we make, we live by. Daniel resolved not to in Daniel 1:8. When Daniel was taken prisoner to Babylon, he was quickly promoted to leadership in the king's palace. But as a Jew, he refused to defile himself with the royal food and wine. Could his choice have affected his career or even cost him his life? Absolutely. But what we choose to do under pressure results from one of two things. First, clearly established convictions we live by. Secondly, fuzzy convictions we're willing to compromise for personal gain. Hard times don't make you, they reveal you. In Leadership Gold, John Maxwell writes, after visiting 20 cities in 7 days, it was good to be coming home as the small private jet approached the runway. We were celebrating the success of the week. Then in a moment, everything changed. The plane was hit by crosswinds and dropped straight down to the runway. The wheels hit out of balance. All conversation stopped and our eyes widened as we realized we were in danger. The pilot, without hesitation, pushed the throttle and launched the plane back into the air. We all realized that could have been it. We sat quietly as the plane circled the airfield, and a few minutes later, we landed safely. As he got off the plane, John asked the captain, "When do you realize the decision? When did you make the decision to put the plane back into the air?" He replied, 15 years ago, and he went on to explain, how as a young pilot in training, he decided in advance what decision he would make for every possible air problem. His decision was made long before the crisis, so have a game plan in place before the problem arises. What's your game plan? You're right with God. That no matter what we come up against or face tomorrow, that our eyes are fixed on Him. And whatever the outcome, He is in control. Have a game plan. The wrong advice. Don't go anywhere you can't take the Lord along. Everywhere we go, we're to take Him. You see, Christians cannot leave their Lord behind. That was choices one. What about choices two? Give your servant a discerning heart to distinguish between right and wrong. Choices. They're the determining factor in how your life turns out. When Solomon came to the throne as a young man, he prayed for wisdom to make the right choices in life. Legendary basketball coach John Wooden said, "There's a choice you have to make in everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you." Some of us make life harder by making bad choices. Others move through life more easily because they make good choices. The truth is, you don't always get what you want, but you always live with the consequences of your choices. Observe one. Your choices reveal who you really are. Theologian H.P. Liddon observed, What we do on some great occasion will probably depend on what we already are. And what we are will be the result of previous years of self-discipline. Secondly, the higher you rise, the more difficult your choices become. King Solomon could have had any woman he wanted. Sadly, he chose women who turned his heart away from God. Thirdly, your choices change you for good or evil. Once you choose, you become a servant of that choice. It impacts your life and often on the lives of others. C.S. Lewis said, "Every time you make a choice, you are turning the central point of you. The part that chooses into something a little different from what it was before." And taking your life as a whole, with all your innumerable choices, you are slowly turning this central thing either into a heavenly creature or a hellish creature. So you must make your choices prayerfully and wisely. We are what we are by the choices we make in life. Christians cannot leave their Lord behind. But they may grieve Him. They may break His heart. And there are times, I'm sure, that even as a child of God, we break His heart because of some of the things and choices we make and do. So what is it that grieves the heart of God? Verse 31 of chapter 4 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." You cannot be filled with bitterness and be filled with the Spirit. You cannot be filled with anger and be filled with the Spirit. You cannot be filled with malice and be filled with the Spirit. What is malice? The desire to do harm or mischief. Evil intent. The state of mind with which an act is committed. You cannot be filled with hatred and be filled with the Spirit. Confess these sins and forsake them. And let's not grieve the Spirit of God. So we're to grieve not the Spirit. We are to quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. Quench not the Spirit. You must stop quenching the Spirit, because to quench the Spirit is to stifle or suppress His work in you. To quench the Spirit is to halt His work in your heart. To quench the Spirit is to resist Him. To quench the Spirit is to exalt your will above the will of God. So we must be careful not to quench the Spirit of God. To quench the Spirit is to tune Him out. Which of us don't worry? We worry about things, don't we? Why not give it to God? Human nature is what it is. And we need to keep reminding ourselves, give it to God and trust Him. Tuning to the channel of worry. Tuning to the channel of fear. Tuning to the channel of entertainment. We live in a country, in a world, where our young people cannot walk down the street with being bombarded with entertainment in their ears. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. And I often think about London. We've got two boys. John, whom many of you prayed for. William, who's 13. And makes up, John never talks and William never stops. And in our house from time to time, as many of you may know what it's like when you have teenage boys in the house, there's always something going on. There's always something. Sometimes my wife Linda will say, just turn it off. Just turn them off. Put your headphones on. You know why? So that we can have time to think. Quietness. One time, driving the car, I would have always had the radio or the stereo on, listening to music or something. But you know, it's great to get in the car and have time to think. And to think about the things of God. Meditate upon His Word. Think about Him. So we've got tuning to the channel of worry, fear, entertainment. What about greed? Tuning to the channel of greed. I want. I want what I want and I want it now. The world we live in, I wanted yesterday. No patience to wait. And when you stop quenching the Spirit, wonderful things will happen. Wonderful things will happen. Doors will be open. We'll be more joyful. You will have peace. You will have peace of mind. Being thankful. Being thankful before God. As Ephesians 5 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will then experience the work of the Comforter. Being submissive, because then we'll be ready for the unexpected opportunities to speak of Christ. The unexpected doors to open where God wants us to be. So we're to quench not the Spirit. We're to grieve not the Spirit. We're to quench not the Spirit. But we are to walk in the Spirit. You must start walking in the Spirit, as Galatians 5 and 16 says. Galatians 5 and 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walking speaks of faith. Faith and trust in the God of heaven, the God whom we trust and believe in and know as our Savior. When we think about the lame man being brought lower through the roof and into the home. Why did they bring him? Why were they so determined? Because they believed he could be healed. What faith? What faith? Peter, when Jesus came to the walking on the water, Jesus said, Peter, come. And as he came to the Lord Jesus walking on the water, he was able to do it while he kept his eyes fixed upon Jesus. But when he took his eyes off of the Lord, he began to sink. Friends, this evening, are your eyes totally fixed upon the Lord himself? Because he can help us and take us through when we walk with him. To walk in the Spirit is to take by faith that God has granted his filling and proceed accordingly. And proceed accordingly. We are to witness for God. And so as we think about being filled with the Spirit, we're to grieve not the Spirit, we're to quench not the Spirit, but we are to walk in the Spirit. But what are the fruits of the Spirit? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22-23. Love, joy, peace. But let's think about these for just a moment. Love is the source of obedience. Joy is the flower of holiness. Peace is the outcome of trustfulness. Long suffering is the partner of patience. Gentleness is the daughter of love. Goodness is the activity of grace. Faith is the faithfulness of courage. Meekness is the trait of Christ. And temperance is the mastery of faith. It's a challenge, isn't it? I speak to my own heart, because we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so some things we need to confess. The grieving and the quenching of the Holy Spirit. And it is one thing to take by faith his filling, allowing him full control. These are very personal. And are something to settle alone before God. And how we need to keep coming back and bringing these before him and asking him for his help so that we can be used of God and faithful to him in our daily walk and lives before God. So let us walk in the Spirit. Let us challenge, let us encourage, let us build one another up as we seek to live and to serve and to walk with him. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Only God can help us to bring those out in our lives when we allow him full control. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you love and that you care for us so much. And Father, we pray, dear Lord, that, Lord, for these some of these areas that so often we can fail and let you down. Father, help us to allow you into every situation that we are involved in from day to day, so that you would have your way in our lives and that you would be evident in everything that is said and done. Lord, if there's anyone here this evening who, Lord, maybe not know you as their Savior, bring them to the foot of the cross so that they will begin to understand of what it is to walk with God and to know you as their Savior, so that these traits of the Christian life can be lived out and be an example of what God has done in a life. Father, help us, we pray. And go before us. And Lord, throughout this coming week, help us to share and show your love to those we meet and are in contact with. And Father, we pray that we will be conscious of your help and presence with us in all that is said and done. And Lord, we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn in closing, 537, 537, Come Let Us.